guys luck. Don't forget to follow them.
Thank you.
They will find you. Be yours.
No Rutledge just today? That's all right. Are we waiting for Rutledge's?
Yeah, Joyce's in over
here. She said she was coming.
They're right. They're coming.
Oh, guys, they're still way over on Abrams.
Pete.
I recommend you start. Hey,
John must have thrown a ball.
Good to see
you. Good to see you.
Romans 6. Verse 8. Hopefully we'll make it through two verses or three verses today, but we'll see. But Romans 8 through 10, we've been talking almost exclusively about the cross and your death on the cross. And now Romans 8 through 10 concern the efficacy of the seed. Remember, before we talk about the seed, let's go to Galatians 3. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The seed is the germ of life. The divine impulse, it's the agency by which we live. And it alone is Him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not to seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. So you got to get that picture straight in your mind. Otherwise, you'll automatically begin to use this mystery of God for your own self-realization, even if you talk about the cross. All right? Now back to Romans 6. We studied last time in verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, in verse 8, if is ice, E-I-S, which means in view of the fact. Now, in view of the fact we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And again, it's correct to say with, but the translation of that word is by means of. We can only live by means of him. We can't live, it's not like we're buddies living, and we're living with him. We live only by the means of him. What's going on, Glenn? You're not here.
No, I'm here. Definitely.
Are you here?
Yeah.
So we live only by the means of him. And that implicit in that then is the abandonment of yourself. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, let's go to Genesis 3 real quick. Genesis 2. What?
Is abandonment of self a skill?
Is it? It's a skill if you believe that walking away from taking a crap is a skill.
Sincerity is the key. If you can fake that, you got it made.
No, I mean, it's again, it's how, if you see yourself as this precious little being that is the purpose of the universe is to cause you to flower, then you can't abandon yourself. If you see yourself correctly, then it's easy.
So you have to see from God's point of view or else it's self-seeking.
That's right. Where did I say go? Oh, Genesis. Genesis 2. I think I said Genesis 3, but it's 2. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, there's a device that I don't know how to explain in the Hebrew language, but what it says there, that in dying you shall surely die. In dying you shall surely die. Anyone that eats of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So in dying, but you didn't surely die until the cross. In other words, because man looks at linear time. God is outside of time. God saw that same instant at one time. In dying, you shall surely die. Without redemption, there's nothing that can redeem you because you're of the curse. Now, God tried everything to try to so that his justice would be just. He tried he tried without the law, and he tried with the Noachian law, he tried by one family, he tried by giving the perfect law. And each time, whoever was proclaiming it was stoned and cast out, and then finally he sent his son, and his son was killed. So he tried everything. And then even after the death of his son, even after Christ's resurrection, he breathed unto the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And what'd they do? They were the first prosperity gospel, because instantly they left being in that function of doing the will of God, and they said, let's go fishing. And they didn't mean like, let's go weekend fishing. Let's go return to our former life. Now we have God on our side and we can be rich and healthy and successful. And that was the last chance for the human race. You got an inkling of this? I talk about this all the time, but it's... What? You're doing it again, Gary.
Think about them going fishing. You know, I thought they went because they were disgusted and things weren't working. And
go to John 20.
Disgusted.
What?
Make a note, the reason we didn't get through two verses.
The kid and the dunce cap doesn't get it.
It's Gary's fault.
I asked these questions for my partner.
No, I'm looking for, I know it's in 21, but I'm looking for something else first. I can't find it right now, but it's in 20 somewhere. It says, we breathed in him and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then he goes 21. To, huh?
20,
21. No. Oh, no, 22. And when he had said this unto them, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Okay, just keep that in mind. Now we go over to the John 21. After these things, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this wise showed he himself. There were gathered together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we go also with thee. They went forth into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So what it says, if you look up those words, when it says, I go a-fishing, it means I am returning to my life as a former life as a fisherman. They thought now with the Holy Spirit, just like the human race does,
we're
going to catch some fish.
Jump in the boat. Just speak unto that fish. Jump into your net, brother.
Just whatever you believe you will receive, say it and you will get it.
Amen.
Let's look at how Jesus caught fish, brother.
You need some money, just speak unto it and get a money out of the fish's mouth. Whatever you need.
Visualize.
What you see, you receive.
7 ways to catch fish.
You got it?
You guys got it. You hack.
Thank you, Gary.
How long have you been here?
And it's he took 7 others with him. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Hallelujah. Praise God in heaven. We're going to catch us some fish. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the and at that night they caught nothing. Now, does this sound familiar? One of the disciples was standing there. And he said, the reason this didn't work is because we have to pump energy into it. And the other one said, no, the reason it didn't work is because you have secret sin in your life. And then the other one said, no, the reason it didn't work is because you haven't given enough. There's nothing new under the sun. You can imagine this conversation with the disciples. Why? Why?
Clearly the Lord wants us to catch fish.
Right.
Well, he's
But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now this is the third time that they saw Jesus and they didn't know it was him. Does it sound familiar? Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Have you any food? They answered, no. Then he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and threw the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now again, they still didn't know what was going on. Until Pentecost, when the seed of him who they had served was shed in them, then they could hear, then they knew. So the holy seed, the right arm, God hath gotten him the victory, not men. Not anything about us. Now where were we before I was so rudely interrupted?
Romans 6.
Verse 10, for in that he died...
Can I stop a second? That you're talking about they didn't recognize him, and that's because there was no witness in them to who he was. It was like because the seed hadn't been impregnated they were just without an ability. They had received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but they were in the way of themselves. They were in the way. Like, they weren't even... There was no intune going on whatsoever. After they received it, it was like, let's go. Does that make sense? Because they were telling themselves, let's go. I'm going, what's going on?
Yeah, but they see him and they don't recognize him. And then,
well, that's like millions of people who don't hear. And they go, I hear, I believe. Not. Am I wrong?
It's like the guys on the road to Emmaus. They walked with him for miles and he taught them and they didn't know it was him.
Yeah, it went through one ear and out the other.
It's like talking to a fish. Or talking to your dog. I mean, it's even worse than talking to your dog. Because your dog would recognize you.
No, the dog listens. It's your cat that doesn't.
But it's that there is no capacity. Because of the fall, because of the curse. I can't get this through everybody's head. You can't get there from here.
See, they didn't even already receive the Holy Spirit.
Doesn't make any difference.
Because they're still in the way of themselves.
They'll just try to use the Holy Spirit to benefit themselves. This is another instrument of self.
Faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. In their minds, now that they got it.
You remember now, maybe our thousands of conversations over the last 35 years about this same subject? You can have an illusion of this with groupthink. And so you get a whole lot of people together and you use music or lighting or whatever, and you can have an illusion of a belief in oneness, but it's meaningless. The test of whether or not you've heard is what happens in your aloneness, not when you are together with a bunch of people. That's why I've said to you so often that the only thing God sees in you isn't what you're doing now, coming to Bible study or going to church or reading the Bible or anything else. He sees the religion that's going on inside you as the temple. If that religion is still of self and of protection, there's no hearing. He doesn't even see you.
Crack in your armor.
You can have... That's why Jesus said... Many shall come to me in that day saying, we did all these wonderful things, we did all this good, we did this in your name, and he shall depart from me, I never knew you. because their ears and their heart were stayed uncircumcised. They stayed only of what they could gain for themselves. I used to say when I was on the radio all the time that the Antichrist is coming in Jesus' name, and his seduction is what he can do for you.
Which is kind of clearly pictured in this "We Go Fishing" thing. I mean, these are the guys. These guys are living day and night for 3 years, and what do? They pursue what they think
in his name.
Yeah. All right, back to Romans.
Flesh, you get oily flesh.
Back to Romans 7:6. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now what's the difference? For the previous verse, we know now that we live by means of him. In him, Adam died. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. How can that be? Who are you then? All that's left are vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. Whore or the bride. There's nothing else in between. There's no more gray. And we believe, every single one of us believe that sincerity or trying or doing our best has some value. It is totally and completely without value. It means nothing. It's him only. Without your help. And dying, you have surely died. Stop and think a minute. Just remember, for those of you that have children, remember how every aspect of their life you had to teach them. How every single, or just if you can remember in your own self, how you had to learn how to tie a shoe, how you had to learn how to even make certain grunts and groans mean something. How you had to slowly but surely learn how to communicate, how to write little scribbles of things, how to learn what was the value system, how to learn every aspect. Well, again, the scriptures are clear. It says, the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. Well, what that means then is everything that you have learned cannot be right. Because everything you have learned is less than that which is come, that which is perfect. So all of our experiences have to go out the window, including all of our knowledge, all of our experiences, all of our talents, every aspect of our life have to be gone, abandoned, neglected. Because the anointing we have received, you have need that no man teach you. He is his own strength, his own identity, his own everything. The best we can be is a vessel, a broken vessel for that life. But the more you try to get it right, the more you try to understand, the more you try to do the right thing, it sounds so good and so sincere, it's just all crap. It's called your own righteousness. And the test that you believe it's your righteousness is how you excuse yourself. And you blame God because you've tried so hard. Anybody sound familiar to anybody? You look like you've been hit with a brick. What's going on with you?
I'm just thinking of God's compassion and mercy and long-suffering. Without those, all this...
But just think how much time, even after you became supposedly a believer, you spent learning stuff. Learning how to act. Like now you got to act like a different person. You got to act like a believer.
That's why there's long suffering. Because that's, to me, that's the compassion of God, knowing the weak and weird we are.
No. It's not that we are weak. It's that we think we are strong because we can learn something. And so we never come to the position of weakness. This isn't a gradual. This is all gone.
This is wheat falling to the harvest floor.
You know, the reason everybody has this, you know, we talked about bringing every high place, casting down imaginations, and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In your body, in your structure, the high places are symbolized by your bones. That's why a bone of him could not be broken. That's why the bones of Jacob had to be brought back to the promised land to fulfill the type. And the only part of you that has any merit to God isn't your flesh and blood. Flesh and blood shall not inherit. But the closest thing that we can get to see something that has a value to God is the valley of dry bones. Because that's us in that valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 9. And that's what the Holy Spirit is bringing us together. So we stop this idiotic concern for self-realization and slowly but surely. But the bones can't be of value until it's dry. That's why it's called Zion. The place totally dry without moisture. He shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry, arid ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we see him, we should desire him. It's a different universe than your mind tells you. Oh, then you go look around, wait until everything goes right. Until, oh, God is in that. No, he's just as much in your worst nightmare as he is in everything else. Oh, God is blessing me because I had a really good day. No, that's so bad. It's not that you worship bad days, but it's that what the day is good or bad or you're hurt or don't hurt is meaningless. That's probably enough. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, kind of what Gary was saying a second ago. He mentioned long suffering, compassion, grace. That's what I feel right now. Just I'm apprehending exactly what you're saying. There's no question in my mind that I know that's the truth. But when I think of compassion and grace, is how graceful mercy is the moment I leave that.
Yeah, amen.
But he keeps bringing back. That's not me. That's him bringing back.
We account the long suffering.
That's unconditional love and mercy right there, that he would even bring us back to the mercy seat.
Yeah. No, that's why we account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. But our self-righteousness just gets in. It's just sickness beyond sickness. Every time you think you know what something, and this is what we're. It's so simple. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.